I'm so glad you're here. This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. I have tried to find the creepiest stories for this episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Our first story. This happened in Blue Ridge, Georgia, where my parents bought a beautiful home when I was 12. It sat at the very end of an old country road with about 5 acres of land. Behind the backyard, the property disappeared into dense forest. This went on for miles. There weren't neighbors within sight. At night, it was so dark, you couldn't even make out the tree line. This was exactly the kind of place my parents had always wanted. My dad loves hunting. My mom loves gardening. And my younger brother, Ethan, thought having the woods behind the house meant he'd have a place to build forts and explore. The first few weeks were good, until the dogs started acting strange. We had 2 dogs, a golden retriever named Bailey, who would chase anything that moved, and an older lab named Cooper, who loved wandering. We figured they would love it at this house. But neither one would willingly step into those woods. They'd sprint across the backyard full speed, chasing squirrels or rabbits, and then stop every time. I saw their ears would flatten, their tails would lower. Sometimes, especially Cooper, I would hear him growl. Staring into the trees, they wouldn't go in those woods, no matter how much my dad encouraged them. No matter how many treats he threw out there, neither dog would cross the tree line. Dad would laugh and say, "I've never seen hunting dogs scared of the woods." But it wasn't just fear, it looked more like they knew something was in there that we didn't. Like they were picking up on something. Something we couldn't see with our human eyes. About a month after moving in, Ethan came sprinting through the back door so fast he nearly tore through the screen door. At that time, Ethan was 9. He had a huge imagination and was known to exaggerate. If he scraped his knee, he'd say he fought a bear. If he caught a fish, it somehow became the biggest fish in Georgia. So naturally, none of us believed him when he told us that he heard people talking in the woods. My dad just said, "It's probably hunters." He said, "No, it wasn't hunters." My mom asked him, "Well, what did they say?" He said, "I couldn't understand them." "Well, it could be hikers," my mom said. "There aren't any trails back there. They kept saying things." He looked shaken up. He said, "They sounded close, but every time I walked toward them, they got farther away." I remember my dad sort of laughing him off and saying something like, "Sound carries funny through the trees." But Ethan insisted. "There was more than one, Dad." "Okay," my dad finally said, "no more scary stories." And he put an end to that conversation. And that was that. At least that's what we thought. A few days later, everything changed. It was a Saturday afternoon. Mom said she had a headache and was going upstairs for a nap. I remember because she specifically asked Dad before she went upstairs, "Can you call Tony later? We should figure out dinner this week." Tony was my uncle. We would usually do big family dinners. My dad answered, "Yeah, I'll do it after I finish outside." Just a simple conversation. About 20 minutes later, Dad and I were in the backyard putting together a swing that Ethan had been asking for. The dogs were outside, lying beside us. Neither was sleeping, both were staring into the woods. And then we heard it. My mother's voice, clear. "Hey." It came from somewhere inside the trees. My dad looked up. And then again, we heard her voice. "Did you talk to Tony yet?" My dad looked out into the woods, said, "I guess she came looking for us." He called out, "Hun, are you feeling better? We didn't even see you come out." Without even thinking, he just started walking towards the woods, towards my mom's voice. I followed, and neither dog moved. My dad called back, "Hun, where you at?" "Come on," we heard her voice again. The dogs refused to go into the woods. Bailey actually backed away. I'd never seen her act like that. Then my mom's voice came again, closer this time. "Hello?" It sounded cheerful and normal like my mom, just like she was waiting for us. My dad stepped beneath the trees. I stayed right behind him. And the second we entered the woods, everything changed. It suddenly got so incredibly quiet. "Aren't you coming?" My mom's voice again. Maybe 50 yards ahead, perfectly clear, my dad answered, "We're coming. What are you doing out there?" We heard her laugh. Then, again, "Did you call Tony?" Again, referencing our conversation we had had inside just minutes ago. The voice seemed to be moving farther away, always just ahead, never visible. "Dad, I don't see Mom," I said to him. He didn't answer. We kept walking. My dad continuously calling out for my mom. "Where are you?" Branches cracking under our feet. We were getting deeper and deeper into the woods. Then the voice came again. "This way." I couldn't tell where it was coming from anymore. Sometimes it sounded left, other times right, sometimes directly behind us. That's when Dad suddenly stopped walking. He stood perfectly still for several seconds, and then his smile dropped. He then whispered to me, "Let's go back to the house." "What?" I said. "Now." He grabbed my arm, I looked at him, and his face had completely changed. He looked terrified. I said, "What about Mom?" He looked at me and calmly said, "Don't answer it anymore." The voice called out again. It sounded irritated now. "Aren't you coming?" Dad squeezed my arm harder. "Keep walking," he said. We started making our way back towards the house. The voice suddenly sounded much closer. So close, it felt like someone was standing only a few feet from us. "Where are you going?" My mom's voice asked again. "Come back," she said. Then we heard her laugh, unmistakable. But my dad never looked back. We both started walking faster and faster. By the time we reached the backyard, we were almost running. The dogs met us halfway across the grass, almost like they had been anxiously waiting. My dad didn't say a word. He walked straight into the house, straight upstairs, and I followed. My heart was pounding so hard, I thought I might throw up. My dad opened my parents' bedroom door, and there, asleep, was my mom, still wearing the same sweatshirt, cuddled up under the blankets. She woke up confused. "What are you two doing? Is everything okay?" Dad just stared at her. Finally, he asked, "Have you been outside?" "What?" "Since you laid down." "No, I've been laying here. My head is still really hurting," my mom said. Dad asked another question. "Did you call us? Maybe from the house?" "No," she said firmly. "I've been here half asleep." "Dad, what was that? What happened out there?" I begged my dad to tell me something that would make me feel better about this. Because my dad always knew what to say. But in this moment, I knew he was scared too, because he just looked at me and said, "I have no idea." We told my mom what happened, and she was horrified. But we never told Ethan. Not until he got a little bit older, because we didn't want to scare him. But after that day, it all seemed to change. Dad never hunted in those woods again, ever. My dogs always refused to enter the trees. Not one time in 2 years, and every few months, one of us would hear something calling from the woods. One time, my dad heard his own father, who had died years earlier. Once, Ethan swore he heard me calling him while I was inside doing homework. But by far the creepiest happened to my mom. She was out on the back patio, doing some gardening, and she heard my grandmother's voice say, "Come help me," from inside the woods. My grandmother had been dead for years. Mom really didn't garden that much after that. None of us ever followed the voices again. We had this unspoken rule: if you heard someone calling you from the woods, you just ignored it. Don't answer, don't even look. Just come inside. We lived there for 2 years before my dad got transferred for work. I actually have this feeling that he wanted to be transferred. like he requested it. I don't think he liked living in that house because of what was going on in those woods. He would never say it, he's not that type of guy, but I know it scared him. The day we packed the moving truck, I actually felt relieved. I noticed my mom and Ethan were extremely chipper. This was all odd, as I always thought my parents would keep that house forever. It was their dream, until it wasn't. As we drove away from this house, it felt like we'd finally escaped something. A few months after moving, Dad admitted he'd never told me. The moment he decided to turn around that afternoon wasn't random. He said while we were following Mom's voice, he suddenly realized he could hear her talking, but he couldn't hear footsteps or branches breaking, no sounds of leaves crunching. And the voice kept moving deeper into the woods without making a sound. He said that's when every instinct he had told him we were following something that wasn't human. I've thought about this countless times over the years. I've shared this story at parties and with friends. Maybe there is some strange explanation, maybe echoes. Maybe someone somehow mimicked my mother's voice and then got good at mimicking the rest of my family's. But that still doesn't explain how it knew about a private conversation we had in our kitchen only minutes earlier. Our next story. I worked for a residential cleaning company for almost 12 years now. Wow, I can't believe it's been that long. I've been inside hundreds of houses, tiny apartments, million-dollar homes, fixer-uppers, you name it. Most of them blend together, but there's one house I will never forget. About 5 years ago, my coworker Melissa and I were assigned a new client in one of the nicest neighborhoods in Indianapolis. This house was enormous. Beautiful two-story stone home tucked back from the road with mature oak trees lining the driveway. It looked like something out of a magazine. The homeowner, a woman in her early 40s, greeted us at the front door. She was incredibly friendly and gave us the usual tour before we started. She explained they wanted a full deep clean instead of our standard maintenance service. That meant everything, baseboards, ceiling fans, hardwood floors upstairs and downstairs, window ledges, bathrooms, the works. Before we started, she smiled and said, "The kids are all gone today, so you ladies will have the house to yourselves." I remember that sentence, "The kids are all gone today." Melissa started downstairs in the kitchen and living room while I headed upstairs with the vacuum, mop, and all my cleaning supplies. The second floor wrapped around an open foyer and had five bedrooms. There were two bedrooms that very obviously belonged to boys. One had baseball trophies covering an entire bookshelf. The other had superhero posters and Legos scattered everywhere. Next came a bedroom decorated in soft pinks and whites. There were stuffed animals neatly arranged across a small white bed, ballet slippers hanging from a hook, children's books, framed drawings, and a dollhouse sitting beneath the window. At the very end of the hallway was the guest bedroom. I finished the boys' rooms, vacuumed the hallway, dusted the picture frames, then carried my mop bucket toward the pink bedroom. The door was already open. I stepped inside, and the room smelled like lavender. I had just set my bucket down when I heard something. A creak coming from the closet. I looked over and one of the folding closet doors moved just enough for me to notice. Then I heard faint breathing, very quiet, almost like someone trying not to be heard. I laughed to myself, assuming it was one of the kids. I walked over, slid the closet door open, and there was a little girl crouched in the back corner. She couldn't have been older than 7 or 8. She had one hand over her mouth, like she was trying not to giggle after successfully scaring someone. I put my hand over my chest. "You scared me," I said to her. "But I found you." She just looked at me. She had shoulder-length brown hair and bright blue eyes. She didn't say anything. She didn't smile or frown. I said, "Your mom told us everyone was going to be gone today." She said nothing, not a single word. I assumed she was shy. A lot of kids are. "Well, I'll clean the guest room first, okay?" She blinked, and that was it. I picked up my bucket and walked down the hall. The whole thing had struck me as kids being kids, not paranormal. I cleaned the guest room, dusted the furniture, wiped everything down, vacuumed. Maybe 15 minutes later, I came back into the hallway carrying my supplies. Into the corner of my eye, I caught movement. The little girl was peeking around the corner of the hallway. Only half her face was visible. The second she realized I'd noticed her, she ducked back. Then I heard her giggle. I smiled. You got me. Assumed she was playing some kind of game, I continued working upstairs. I'd catch brief glimpses of her every few minutes. Peeking around a banister, overlooking the foyer, standing just inside another bedroom doorway, half hidden behind the bathroom door. Just watching me, appearing for a second or two, and then she'd slip out of sight. At one point, I even called downstairs. Melissa? She answered from the kitchen. Yeah? Have you seen the little girl? She's making me jump every 5 minutes. Melissa laughed and said, I haven't seen any kids. She's staying out of my way. I finally returned to the girl's room to clean it, and the closet was empty. The room itself felt strangely peaceful. I dusted every shelf, carefully worked around the dolls, straightened a stuffed rabbit at the end of the bed, mopped the hardwood floor, and moved on. The little girl never appeared again. About an hour later, we finished up. Melissa and I were going over scheduling before we left. The mother asked if we'd be available every other Tuesday. We said absolutely. I then said, maybe next time your daughter won't hide from me all afternoon. I watched as the mother's smile disappeared. Her husband looked up from across the kitchen. He got up and walked over to stand beside her. Both of their faces had gone completely white. She asked me, Can you tell me exactly where you saw her? All of a sudden, I got a really strange feeling, like I did something wrong. I was scared. I said, mostly upstairs. She nodded and then quickly asked, where upstairs? I answered honestly, in the hallway, behind one of the bedroom doors, and the closet in her room. The woman immediately covered her mouth and began crying. Her husband put a hand on her shoulder and looked just as distraught. I'm so sorry, I said. I don't understand. After a long silence, her husband quietly said, our daughter Emily died about a year and a half ago. He explained she had been killed in a car accident while riding home with a family friend. After a dance practice, she was only 8 years old. The room I'd cleaned had been left exactly the way she had left it. The parents explained they couldn't bear to change it. And the mother looked at me through tears and asked, what was she doing in the closet? I told her exactly what I'd seen, crouching like she was hiding. She started crying even harder and said she loved hide and seek. She was always trying to get her brothers to play with her. And she always hid in closets. She thought no one would ever find her there. The mother asked, was she afraid? I thought about the little girl watching me from around corners all afternoon. The way she'd cover her mouth trying not to laugh after startling me. How she'd quietly peek from doorways. I shook my head and said no, she didn't seem scared. If anything, I think she thought we were playing. Her parents had told me that they had experienced things in the house after her death. Small things like feeling her presence there. But I had been the only one that had seen her, and I don't know why. We continued cleaning that house every other Tuesday for nearly 7 months, and I never saw the little girl ever again. Our next story. I never believed in ghosts. Not before this apartment, anyway. I've always been the kind of person who tries to find a logical explanation for everything. Seeing something out of the corner of your eye? You're probably tired. Weird noises? Old pipes. After what happened in our apartment, I still don't know exactly what I saw, but it's opened my mind. This happened about 4 years ago when I lived in a three-bedroom apartment in Denver, Colorado with two roommates. We were all in our mid-20s and worked completely different schedules. I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, so I worked nights at a restaurant downtown, usually not getting home until after midnight. My roommate Caden worked construction, so he was up before sunrise most mornings. And our third roommate, Jim, worked remotely for a software company and pretty much lived on his computer. We got along great. One thing about Caden was that he was incredibly social. He always had friends over. Not super loud parties, just people hanging out watching football or grabbing beers after work. Our apartment was pretty close to some of the big bars. So sometimes if it got too late, one of his friends would just crash on our couch. It never bothered me. In fact, after a few months, I'd gotten to know two of his closest friends pretty well. Steven was tall with dark hair and glasses. Thomas had blonde hair, tattoos on both arms, and was always the loudest guy in the room. Those were usually the only two people I'd ever find sleeping on our couch when I came home late. It was pretty normal. I'd quietly unlock the front door, see one of them asleep under a blanket, grab something from the kitchen, and head to bed. No big deal. Then one Thursday night, I'd worked a double shift and didn't get home until almost 2 o'clock in the morning. I was exhausted. When I unlocked the apartment door, the TV was off. All the lights were off except one dimly lit lamp in the kitchen. As I stepped inside, I immediately noticed someone asleep on the couch. At least I thought they were asleep. The person was lying on their side facing the back cushions with the blanket pulled halfway up. The only thing I could really see was the back of their head. This guy had bright reddish hair. I didn't recognize him. I figured Caden must have invited another friend over. I quietly closed the door, kicked off my shoes, walked into the kitchen, grabbed a bottle of water and a bag of chips. Then made my way down the hall into my bedroom. I watched YouTube for maybe another 20 minutes or so before deciding I should brush my teeth and go to bed. My bedroom was at the end of the hallway. The bathroom sat directly across from it. I went into the bathroom, turned on the light, started brushing my teeth, and as I was standing there, looking into the mirror, I heard footsteps coming down the hall. Then I watched the guy from the couch walk by without acknowledging me and walk directly into my bedroom. "Dude," I called out. I figured he must have mistaken my room for Caden's. I spun around almost immediately, toothbrush still hanging out of my mouth. I followed him. It couldn't have been more than 2 seconds. I reached my bedroom doorway, and my room was completely empty. What the? Did he duck behind the door? I checked behind there, nothing. Looked in the closet, under my bed. My room only had one window, and it was locked. There was no balcony. There was no exit. He was simply there and then wasn't. I walked back into the hallway, looked down, and saw the couch was empty. The blanket I'd seen earlier was gone. I checked the kitchen, the bathroom, every room, every closet. Our apartment wasn't that big. There was nowhere someone could hide. I even unlocked the deadbolt and looked into the apartment hallway outside. There was no one. Where did this guy go? I knew I'd seen someone asleep on our couch, and I knew I saw him walk into my bedroom. That night, I locked my bedroom door. But I honestly don't know why, because if someone could disappear into thin air, a locked door wasn't going to help much. But it made me feel a little better. The next afternoon, all three of us happened to be at home. Immediately when I saw Caden, I asked, "Who was your friend with the red hair?" He looked confused. "What red-haired friend?" he asked. "The guy sleeping on our couch last night. Who was that?" "I didn't have anyone over last night," Caden said. "Seriously, I don't even have any friends here with red hair." I turned to look at Jim. He said he didn't have anyone spend the night last night either. I started describing exactly what I'd seen. Coming in late, seeing a guy with red hair with the blanket, watching him walk into my bedroom. But both my roommates were adamant. They had no one staying over last night. No friends. Jim said he had gotten up early that morning around 5, and he said the couch was empty. The whole thing was bizarre. And after that, things started happening. Cabinet doors would be open when all of us swore we closed them. The TV would occasionally be on when no one remembered turning it on. Our hallway light would be turned on in the middle of the night, even though the switch had been off before anyone went to bed. Then came the footsteps. Every once in a while, usually between 2 and 4 in the morning, I'd hear someone walking slowly through the apartment, back and forth across the living room, then down the hallway. It didn't seem hurried. It was like someone wandering through their own home. Jim admitted he'd started hearing them too. There was no way this was some sort of intruder. Caden joked that our apartment was haunted and we were living with a fourth roommate. That was a ghost. After a while, we stopped joking about it. One morning, Caden asked if either of us had been standing outside his bedroom around 3 in the morning. Obviously, neither of us had. He said he'd woken up because he heard someone outside his door, moving around, breathing. He assumed it was one of us until he opened it and the hallway was empty. None of us ever actually saw the red-haired man again. At least, not directly. Sometimes one of us would catch what looked like someone sitting on the couch out of the corner of our eye. But by the time we'd look back, there was no one. Toward the end of our lease, I stopped getting up to investigate the noises. At first, I would check every sound. Eventually, I stopped. If I heard footsteps in the hallway, I stayed in my room. Whatever was out there never tried to hurt us, but I also had absolutely no desire to find out what would happen if I opened my bedroom door at 3 in the morning and came face to face with whoever or whatever I had watched walk into my room that first night. We moved out when the lease ended. None of us renewed. I'm still friends with both guys, and after we left, Caden mentioned he looked up the apartment building online after we left. Apparently, a tenant had died inside of one of the units years before we lived there. He never found a description, or a name, or a photo. Part of me always hoped he wouldn't. It would make it all too real.